Hello and welcome to the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. I'm Bruce Salen, and today's topic, as usual, is based on my current A Dad's Point of View column. This one is called Parental Hypocrisy is Not a Good Parenting Style. You can find my columns in over 100 newspapers and websites worldwide. Just Google my name or Dad's Point of View. I am happy to declare that we have all of our regular guests on board today. Wayne Levine will bring his unique point of view to the men's room. Pastor Drew Sams is back from his doctoral work to join us for Teen Wrap. And Jim Scheinberg will be with us for Family Financial Matters. You can listen to any of my shows, read any of my current or past columns just by visiting my website, BruceSalen.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Bruce Salen or like the A Dad's Point of View Facebook page. My home station is right here in Santa Barbara, KZSB AM 1290. And this week, I attended a real oldies but goodies concert right in Santa Barbara at the beautiful Santa Barbara Bowl. I saw a reunited Buffalo Springfield, reunited after 43 years. Neil Young is 65 and Stephen Stills is 66. I don't know the names of the other members, but they were wonderful, as was the rest of the reconstituted band. But what was so troubling for this baby boomer was the crowd. I kept on asking my wife as I pointed to this or that man, do I look like that? Am I that old? My wife lovingly, honestly, and without hesitation replied, yeah, honey. My head was in my hands, hiding before the concert began. I'm not that old, am I? Don't answer that, please. It was a great concert otherwise. My book is out. I am so proud and pleased to announce it's on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com. You can buy it now for Father's Day, the book, or Kindle, and other e-reader versions. I think the Nook is up there now. Go to the store at brucesalen.com or Amazon, barnesandnoble.com. It's the perfect Father's Day gift. And there's a special website-only deal that includes the companion poster to the book. So, parental hypocrisy, what is that? We're going to talk about it. I think it's actually an epidemic among the boomer parents and even the somewhat younger parents. I'm an avid skier, and this past season I took on a role I never expected. I became the helmet police whenever I saw people not wearing a helmet. I did my police work in polite, respectful manners, but I couldn't help but get a bit more passionate when I confronted parental hypocrisy in its finest with skiing parents and their kids. It's amazing to me how many moms and dads will demand and require their children wear a helmet while not wearing one themselves. What are they teaching their children? I would ask these moms and dads what they think about asking their children to wear a helmet while not modeling that behavior. Sometimes I would get sheepish responses. Sometimes I would get it's none of your business responses. And sometimes I just got blank looks. My arguments for wearing a helmet are not just the typical safety ones. I use my personal story of surviving a bad ski accident with a helmet. And I quote my neurologist who told me, if I wasn't wearing a helmet, I would have been dead or worse. Worse to me is being a vegetable and being a drain on your family, just to be clear. My other argument is the one that usually hits home, as I always ask the helmetless person, often a mom or dad, if they ever eat lunch in the ski lodge. Of course, everyone says yes. I then ask them if they happen to notice what most of the college-age men and women are doing. If they don't answer drinking right away, I remind them of those images we all have in ski lodges at lunch of lines of empty beer, bottles, glasses in front of the so many skiers and snowboarders at lunchtime. I then ask the helmetless if they think that those beer drinkers, after they've consumed their 5 or 6 steins of beer, say to each other, you know, dude, I think it would be irresponsible for us to go out and ski now, don't you think? At that point, the discussion's over. I ran into one guy this season with his new helmet weeks after we'd spoken, and he thanked me. And it's worth putting up with the derision I sometimes get by butting into what people say is none of their business if I do affect a mom or dad here and there. And that is what I've been trying to do since the day I began writing. Parental hypocrisy has existed as long as there have been parents. I imagine Abraham may have tried to discuss the danger of drinking too much with his 6 sons. But I wonder if he did it while drinking some wine. Did King Tut admonish his sons about the dangers of driving a chariot after drinking too much, and then take his custom-made Mustang chariot with the flame decals on its side for a drive with Nefertiti? How do you say that? How do you say it? Nefertiti. That sounds good. Did he do that while swigging from his Boda bag? Let's think a little bit more contemporary. Do you think that Martin Sheen tried to teach his son Charlie the wisdom of moderation? Or did Kirk Douglas teach Michael the virtue of fidelity and walk the walk at the same time? I proclaim repeatedly that our children watch what we do all the time. Let me repeat that. Our children see everything we do. There isn't much we parents do that our children, especially once they're in their teens, do not know that we do. Don't be naive. Model the behavior you want them to live. Don't be a parental hypocrite. Let's talk about some of the more common examples. Drinking, smoking, and drugs. Parents who drink must know that they must demonstrate responsible drinking if they ever have the least hope or expectation that their children will do the same. That means you don't drink and drive. It also means if you get a DUI, then you must take full responsibility for it. Pay the consequences. Change your behavior and be honest about all of it with your children, assuming they're old enough to understand. If you're drinking and your behavior when drinking is not appropriate, consider going to AA yourself or moderating your drinking. The kids see how you act, and it's not a lesson you want them to learn from you at all when you act badly. Smoking cigarettes is much the same thing. How can you possibly expect your children not to smoke if you do? As for drugs, especially marijuana, this is a classic example where parents may think that they might be able to fool their children and imbibe in private without them knowing. Forget it. They will know. Just like you will find out if and when they drink or do drugs. Whether it's the smell, a leftover ash or device, or any other residue inadvertently discovered by your children, they will find out. Your kids are as smart as you are. Your kids like to explore your private living areas. Again, don't be naive. If you have a stash of drugs, liquor, pornography, or any other vice, they'll find it. So again, I say, you must model the behavior you want your kids to learn. It is best that you walk the walk and talk the talk. That's my talk. That's my speech on parental hypocrisy. Trust me, you don't want to run into me at a ski resort if you're not wearing a helmet, if you have kids. I do ask the people first, do I have permission to give my helmet speech? 90% of the time, they say yes. And then I tell them the other story, which is I ski at a resort called Mammoth Lakes, California. And I say, you know, have you ever noticed how the transient workers, meaning the kids that work at ski resorts, are mostly boys? And they go, yeah. There's usually about six or seven boys to every girl at most of these ski resorts that work the lifts and work in the local, you know, seasonal jobs. And I've gotten to know them because I ski a lot. I've skied 38 days this season at Mammoth. Might even go up there July 4th when they close. And I've asked the girls that work there, do they have boyfriends? And most of them answer no. And I'm shocked. I go, well, how's that possible? There's six to seven guys for every girl. Well, why not? And many of these girls, of course, are as attractive and cute as can be. And they invariably say to me, because they're all jerks and stoners. So when you ski without a helmet, in the morning, you're skiing with the kids that are high. And in the afternoon, you're skiing or riding, if you're a snowboarder, with drunks and kids that are high. So the idea that you're too good for it, or you're so good, or you know better, has no relevance whatsoever. It's the same reason you wear a seatbelt. So if you do any of these things, be mindful of the safety that is involved. I want to remind you again that my new book is out. It's called A Dad's Point of View. We Are Half the Equation. You can find it at Amazon or the store at BruceSalen.com. We have Wayne Levine joining us for the next segment called The Men's Room. And my producer, Richard Dugan, is giving me his finger again, telling me it's time for a break. This is The Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. And we will be right back with Wayne Levine for The Men's Room.